Let's first hear the title of this work that you've been commissioned. Explain, please, to why it's a West Coast premiere here.
The title of the piece is Sonorous Earth, and it's a piece for bells from all around the world and orchestra. And the piece was co-commissioned by the Eugene Symphony and the Chicago Philharmonic. When there's a co-commission, each orchestra does the premiere in their home environment. So this is the premiere by the Eugene Symphony of the work that they co-commissioned.
When did it premiere in the Midwest?
It premiered in Chicago on November 12th of 2017.
How was the response?
The response was incredible, actually. Huge, screaming, standing ovation, tons of bows. People were just so enthusiastic. Third Coast Percussion is amazing. People were literally screaming and cheering beyond belief. And the press was fabulous. Great, great press reviews. So it was really fun.
When were you commissioned to do this?
Well, it's been approximately 2 years from when we all signed a contract to this Thursday night. And that's because these pieces take a long time to write. It took me a year to write it. And then, of course, it has to be fully engraved, so there's all the parts for the players. And the solo percussion part is extremely elaborate because there's like 300 bells from all over the world. So the percussion parts, the pieces of music that they play from, there are 18 percussion parts, let alone the orchestra part. I mean, it's just this massive setup and very, very enormously detailed and intricate amount of time putting together the score and the parts for it. So that took many months. And then all of a sudden, 2 years flies by between writing it and preparing it.
And I understand, too, that this is in part related to a previous piece, to Resounding Earth?
Yes. Many years ago, approximately 5 years ago, I wrote a piece called Resounding Earth, which was also written for Third Coast Percussion, my collaborators, and that's for this huge array of bells from all around the world. And they've performed that piece many, many times, over 100 times, for instance. They've made a recording of it, they've done an amazing DVD, and they continue to play it. And the idea was to take that piece, Resounding Earth, and fit it into an orchestral context so it became a concerto. The situation, though, is that Resounding Earth is already 30 minutes long, and the concerto was supposed to be 30 minutes long. So you have to cut out at least half of Resounding Earth in order to have room for the orchestra. And to make a long story short, if you can imagine the first piece being put into an orchestral context, it's a little bit like taking a house and then putting it on a trailer and then moving it to a whole new vista with like new light, new mountains, new rocks, new everything, and then cutting down all the walls and then like putting on 5 extensions and then chopping off the roof and then putting in gardens. You wouldn't even recognize the first house that had been moved on the trailer. That's what's happened here, because what ended up happening is as I picked the parts from Resounding Earth I wanted to use, but then they melted like butter into the piece. So basically, I wrote a whole new piece, which was not the original intention, but what happens is you can't just take something and throw an orchestra around it. It has to be integrated and beautifully made. So the original idea of making a version of one piece into the other completely evaporated, and they're entirely two separate pieces.
I was just going to ask you if they are two very distinct compositions now, and it sounds like that's because of the shifting to an orchestra format.
Yeah, exactly. There's a few passages that are very similar or the same, but they're like 30 bars and then 40 bars or something. And for Third Coast Percussion, they thought that they were going to be able to already know the piece because they've played the first piece 100 times, and all of a sudden they had to learn an entirely new piece. So it was a lot of work for all of us.
300 bells.
Yes.
Is that what you said?
Bells, and bell-like instruments. So, for instance, you might have a spinning Burmese bell, these beautiful bells from Burma, where if you hit one wing of it, it spins. You go, wow, 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 that kind of thing. And Indian no bells, these beautiful, like, quah kind of bells. And little baby bells, ding, 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 and then 25 Japanese rin. So you have, you know, these beautiful prayer bells that are singing just incredibly, like they were strings almost, and then gongs and tam-tams, and then other metallic instruments that are bell-like, such as crotales and glockenspiel and things like that, that are essentially pieces of metal that are bell-like, that are lined up in the manner that a keyboard is lined up. And you have lots of bells in different intonations. For instance, the bells from India are not quote-unquote in tune with the bells from Thailand, or the bells from Thailand with those from Africa, or the African ones, and so on and so forth. It's a very beautiful and rich sound palette.
How did you acquire the bells?
I have absolutely loved bells for my entire life, and I started collecting bells, little ones and big ones, and I had one like on my kitchen table, and then one in the living room, and two in my studio, and some hanging on a tree, and some outdoors, and a big one in the driveway, and whatever, just bells. I just was always fascinated by them. And boy, maybe 25 years ago, a long time ago, I bought this set of 25 Japanese rin that were hand-carved on a metal cutter so that they're in tune. In other words, you if you just shave off a tiny bit of the bronze, it changes the tuning. So these are very beautifully crafted things. And I just wanted to write a piece for nothing but bells. I know it sounds absolutely crazy, but it's just such an interesting sound world and spiritual world. And so I approached Third Coast Percussion, my friends. I said, would you ever want to do this with me? I mean, I've got some bells. They had a bunch of bells, and they were like, let's do it. So we had all the bells that we had, and then we spent quite a bit of money buying more bells. As the piece developed, we did several workshops, and we, for instance, did a workshop on the spinning Burmese bells movement, and then we realized how beautiful they are. We couldn't just have three of them. We needed 12, and then we loved the 12. We're like, no, we need 18 of them, you know. So then it's a question of, where do you get all these extra bells? Where do you buy them? They're expensive. They have to be imported. You care about the pitch and the quality. And so then we would order a bell, and then it would show up, and then we would open it up, and then it would not be what we wanted, and we'd send it back and get another one. So we also went to music stores, and it's a whole many, many years of collecting. And what's interesting now is we are all familiar with the gamelans of different cultures. And there are some American experimentalists who thought about making kind of their own gamelan. In a way, we've made our own gamelan. It's such a unique set of bells, but it's a precise set that we picked for 1,000 precise reasons. And we know this set of bells really well now. Like, what does that one sound like? What does this one sound like? The way you would get to know one bell in a gamelan. What does that one sound like? So it's quite interesting. It's really got so many beautiful possibilities and resonances, no pun intended.
In a lot of orchestral compositions that I've seen, and I'm not saying my experience is vast necessarily, but it seems like bells are almost seen as kind of an accent. Was it a challenge, or was it a passion for you to create a composition where bells were the primary instrument?
I've always been interested in bells. The long decay of some bells, when you hit them, bing! And it goes on for a long time. And then certain bells with very short ones, twack, twack, twack. And then you also have everything in between. And the beauty of the bells, many of these bells in this piece are from spiritual contexts and religious spaces. And the rich over and undertones of how these instruments were used in different cultures, and now they're all on one stage ringing together. It's really a piece that celebrates interdependence. And the fact that, you know, mankind all over the globe in lots of different cultures has been digging these metals out of the earth and making instruments out of them. And we've brought this huge, unique collection together, which is like a modern gamelan that's worldwide, something along those lines, and then put it in an orchestral context. So I guarantee you there's no other piece on the planet that sounds like this piece, because no other piece has 18 spinning Burmese bells and 26 Japanese rin and 10 no bells from India and so on and so forth. It's just such a unique and interesting palette.
What kind of experience do you want your audience to have when it premieres Thursday?
Well, I know that the community in Eugene is very sensitive to the arts, and that there are a lot of people here who are artists and many people who support the arts and also support something like this where the artists are making something unique. You're not going to hear another piece with all these bells and orchestra for a long time. It's a very special piece, and I would like people to come to it with a kind of open mind and an open heart. And the piece is in four movements, and they're very contrasting. In the first movement, you only have the musicians playing what instruments are on these racks that are hung, like different kinds of bells that are hung, and some table bells. In the second movement, we go to a completely other station where they play nothing but the Japanese rin and crotals. So you go from a kind of fanfare, majestic opening movement to an extremely quiet, prayerful, intimate, gossamer, gentle world. And then in the third movement, which is with the spinning Burmese bells and the gongs, only those instruments, and pizzicato and lots of short sound, this kind of thing, it's a whole completely other world. And then in the last movement, every single bell on stage is struck. Last movement brings all the different bells in. So if you listen to it formally, it's four contrasting movements. They each last between 7 and 8 minutes. It's really a piece that culminates in the last movement, where all of a sudden all these bells that you've had the chance to hear individually are ringing together for an intense and vibrant, almost like Stravinskyan and Ravel-like flourish of color and energy. In addition, I've been listening to jazz my whole life, and my hero as a child was Louis Armstrong, and in fact, he's sort of still my hero, and I love Ella Fitzgerald and all the big band artists and the pianists and so on and so forth. So you definitely will hear that this is a classical symphony, but lots of extended dominant chords and kind of really interesting rhythmic things that are coming from a 35-year-old love affair with jazz, as well as my classical side. I think it all gets in there, as well as this whole spiritual world of the beauty of these bells. And one other thought is that Third Coast Percussion is so great. They're just the best. One thing I love about them is they play my dynamics. So for instance, sometimes I have the bell being played double piano. That means very quietly. Now you have the huge halt center, right? And this little bell, and I ask them to just play one little bell quietly. And the tendency would be, oh, we better play it louder. But if you just play it softly, everybody can still hear it, and it's very alluring. So I love that they do play my dynamics, and I'm positive that this orchestra will also, because I had the great chance to be here earlier in the year, and they did a phenomenal job of my piece, Oriel, and I thought that they were very sensitive to my dynamics, which are highly nuanced. And I know that sounds like a composer, you know, small little thing, but when you're dealing with all these different kinds of resonances, one has to be very careful about the layers, the layering effects of them. You can't hit everything at double forte or everything at double piano. There has to be things foregrounded and middle grounded and backgrounded.